Hey, you guys, this is The Mean Podcast, and I'm your host, Kristen Filipkowski. The Mean Podcast is where I talk to creative, curious, and ambitious women who are diving headfirst into the second half of their lives. Turning 50 doesn't mean it's time to fade into the background. It means we know what we're doing, and we're not afraid to do it. Hey, everyone. I hope you're staying safe and healthy out there. We're in the midst of week 6, I think, possibly 7, of the coronavirus pandemic quarantine. Our teenager is still screaming at his video games, but he's staying home, so I'm not complaining. And the 7-year-old is getting me out for a daily bike ride, so we're fine. We're fine and trying not to complain because we know that comparatively we have it pretty easy. Before I introduce today's guest, I wanted to talk about the podcast's new intro. You may have noticed that I changed it up a bit, and I wanted to explain why. When I first conceived of Mean Magazine and the accompanying podcast, I had this idea that I would create something for women of all ages who had in common creativity, ambition, honesty, and grit, for lack of a better word. And the concept was inspired by Gina Pell's notion of perennials, which really captured my imagination a couple of years ago. And I still love that whole concept. And for the podcast, I thought it would be interesting to team up women who were in the same field, but from different age groups, and interview them sort of as a pair. And I still love that idea, to be honest, but it wasn't as easy as I thought it might be to find the pairs of women. And the more I wrote on the website and posted on social media, I noticed I was getting the most traction when I talked about things like menopause, gray hair, and the other fun things like that that come with being 50-ish. And then the more I thought about it and the more research I did, I realized there really wasn't much interesting media out there for women who are in their 50s or about to be in the near future. So that's what I've been focusing on for the past several months, and it feels pretty right, I have to say. So I hope you're all enjoying it. Please tell all your similarly aged friends about it, and I would love your feedback. So please get in touch if you have any suggestions, recommendations, criticisms. I'm here for all of it. And as for this week on the podcast, we are talking about something that many of you may have experienced: ageism, with a little dose of sexism thrown in for a good measure. I invited back my friend Lizzie Bermudez, a multi-Emmy winner and Bay Area media personality who has unfortunately experienced both. And she was generous enough to come back onto the podcast for the third time and to share some of her stories and how she dealt with them. We also talk about some of the good things about getting older, so stay tuned. I hope you enjoy. So I'm so excited to welcome back to the podcast Lizzie Bermudez, who is a TV personality, a TV host in the San Francisco Bay Area, who has won multiple Emmy Awards. So Lizzie, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah. And this is your third time on the podcast, but the previous times we weren't talking about you as much as we should have been. We were talking about other issues like J-Lo and gray hair. But I wanted to devote an entire podcast to you and your career and everything that you've learned and have been sort of dealing with as your career has developed, because it's so interesting. I mean, being on TV is such a dream come true for so many people. And I think it'll be very interesting to hear your story and your perspective. So, but before we get into all that, let's just talk about what's going on right now. So where are you exactly, and how are you sheltering in place? Like, what's going on?
So I live in San Francisco. We're in the Marina District, and I'm currently hiding out in one of our spare bedrooms.
Nice to have those at times
and I've threatened everybody to leave me alone.
Okay.
please leave me alone. Right. I will be occupied. If you interrupt me, you're going to mess up this entire podcast recording. I'm in a spare bedroom right now with the headset on and tucked away in a corner.
Nice. So you're hiding from, you have one teenager and one tween?
I have a 15-year-old and a 12 and a half year old daughter and a husband and a dog. Yes. Okay. So we are all shelter in place at our place here in San Francisco. And I will say, for the most part, the girls who can be just a pain on so many levels sometimes, they're doing remarkably well. I'm going to have to be completely honest. They are doing remarkably well together. And I don't know if that's because they know they had to step up so that we don't all go crazy. My husband, you know, he's still working. And so he pretty much isolates all day. And then it's the girls and I just managing them. But it's just a lot of, you know, cooking, cleaning, assisting, helping, cleaning, cooking.
Oh my God. It's just so much. I cannot believe how many times I've run the dishwasher, swept the floor. Like, I just feel like the floor is just constantly covered in crumbs and whatever. And I'm like, God, I have to sweep this again. It's just so much.
Yeah. And the girls have been really good. I'm like, okay, you're in charge. You load the dishwasher. You unload the dishwasher. You got to start a load of laundry. But it just, you know, things just shows up around my house. And I'm like, where did this mess come from?
Right.
Where did this mess come from?
I know. It's so crazy. Our 19-year-old boy has actually, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but he has sort of reversed his schedule. So he stays up all night playing video games. And then he kind of sleeps all day. And I know it's not healthy in general. That's terrible. But for everyone's sanity, it's maybe not a bad thing because it's like fewer people roaming around the house during the day.
Right, right.
and then it like keeps him occupied where, you know, so he's not like feeling like he's missing out and wanting to, because at first he was really reluctant to cooperate with this whole thing. He was like, wait a second, I can't see my friends. What are you talking about? Like, he just could not believe it.
Right.
And so now that he's finally, you know, accepting everything, at least he has something to do. And like, they play video games all night. I don't know.
One of my daughters is a total gamer as well. So I get it.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
It's a big diversion distraction for them.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So let's just dive into you, your career just a little bit. Like, if you could give us an intro about who you are, what you do, and just kind of like the basic stats before we get into everything else.
So I started, in college radio. I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo eons and eons and eons ago. And got into college radio, and I was doing the news, these little news cut-ins, and it was so long ago. It was with typewriters and dot matrix printouts from the Associated Press. I loved being able to present news and information to people before anybody else had that information. And that kind of started the bug. And after that, I was just, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be a reporter. I'm going to be a reporter, anchor, something of that sort. And that kind of lit the fire, and I just hopped around. I graduated from college, and I did an internship in Salinas, Monterey. I went from there to Bishop, California. From Bishop.
Okay, where is that?
Bishop is in no man's land. Exactly. It's in Inyo County. If you're familiar with Southern California, Mammoth Lakes, where a lot of people go skiing. They go to Mammoth. You have to go through Bishop to get to Mammoth. So it's way out there. I went from Bishop to Bakersfield, Bakersfield back to Salinas, Salinas to Portland, Portland, Oregon to San Francisco.
Whoa. So this is very interesting because I think this is an aspect of being in journalism and media that today's generation has no idea about, that you had to start at these tiny publications or tiny stations, right? And right. that's how you worked your way up. You had to get your experience. Usually it was the common way. I kind of didn't go that route exactly, but I know that that was a very common way of getting experience. And you'd be in like God knows where, middle of
country. I mean, it's not glamorous by any means. I mean, so many times you're covering a strike and you're in the middle of nowhere and you need a bathroom. And so you're going to the bathroom on the side of the road and you don't eat and you're putting your makeup on and it's, you know, 3 a.m. and it's dark outside. So yeah, I feel like I've worked every shift. I've worked every holiday.
Yeah.
I've been all over on the West Coast. I fortunately did not have to move too far. But yeah, I did. I had to work my way up. And there's something I think about working your way up and paying your dues and learning everything that just makes you really appreciate when you kind of get to where you want to get to.
Right. And were you always in TV?
Yes. Okay. Always in TV news. And I went, when I finally got to San Francisco, which for me, the Bay Area was home. When I finally got to the Bay Area, I thought, okay, I'll stay here for about 5 years and then I'm going to go to LA or New York. Those were the last two places on my, where I wanted to go. And then I met my husband. And at that time I was in my mid 30s. And so I said, okay, I really want to settle down. I want to get married. I want to have a family. And so I off-ramped from work.
And as so many of us do.
Yeah. At a very interesting time. So I had my oldest in 2005 and started going into, you know, Twitter and YouTube and getting into social media and blogging and doing the whole mom blog thing just to stay current and relevant and learn something while I was home raising my girls. And I finally started making some real traction there and getting hired to do work because nobody was doing video back in 2009 or 8 as like the way that they do it today. And I was using a video camera and then uploading it to my computer and then editing
it.
Oh
my God.
So it was so clunky way back when.
Yeah.
And just when I was really getting momentum, I got a call from my former TV station here in San Francisco, ABC7, and they say, we've got this new show we want you to host. It's a weekday talk show. It's highly interactive. You'll be great. It's a lot of lifestyle content. And so I was like, oh my God, that's a dream. Absolutely. Monday through Friday, it's a 3 o'clock show. Mm. And so I did that for a couple years. But when I did that, I really left the whole digital stuff that I've been working on. I had a blog and a vlog and a YouTube channel, and I basically abandoned it. Okay. And within the 2 years I went to go work in TV is when the whole digital world was just getting disrupting the TV market. It was this huge disruption.
Oh, interesting.
And so what ended up, so the TV show ended up getting canceled after a couple of years because people just, especially here in the Bay Area, aren't watching daytime TV. And I went to go back to my blog and vlog and it had exploded. And I just felt like, oh my God, how am I going to catch, you know, I'm so behind. How am I going to catch up? So ever since I've had, I think, one foot in old media, one foot in new media, and have tried to do both as a freelancer, as an independent contractor. And that's what I've done for years, at least the last 6 years. And I'll do one-off digital deals where a brand will say, hey, we want to do this video series, digital video series with you. Here's the subject matter. Here's what we'll pay you. And then we're, you know, I'm done.
Okay. So could you give it like an example of something like that, like a digital series that's like a one-off? Because I think this is sort of an aspect of like TV media work that people might not really know the ins and outs of.
So a lot of times I would get contacted by a brand and a brand would say, we're having a conference for moms and daughters in San Francisco, and we need you to be a brand ambassador for the next 2 weeks.
Oh,
and
cool.
So we need you to cover the event and we're going to pay you and we need you to post about it. So that was one way, you know, one way to make some income. And then I think my biggest by far was doing a campaign, a holiday campaign for Walmart. And I did a huge holiday campaign that I worked for about a month and a half,
okay,
with them in Los Angeles. And they would just fly me out. And I just got paid a year's salary in a month and a half. It was insanity.
Whoa, that's
but
amazing.
That's that never happened. You know, that was a one and done. I wish I could say there were more of those, but that was a really cool experience to shoot all their digital content for the holidays. That was a lot of fun.
And so did you like hired a team and
they actually hired a team. It was a, yeah, it was on a real Hollywood set with a full-on film crew, a ton of people, craft services, you know, wardrobe, makeup artist, the whole nine yards. And they completely converted a set into their holiday theme. And they had a whole campaign for shooting this cooking series for Walmart and their different products.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So what is work looking like for you lately? Is it sort of on hold because you are taking care of the family right now? Are you getting anything done?
No, well, just before COVID, there was a big transition at our station where they were completely refocusing, rebranding, completely changing the show that I was hosting, which had been basically a half-hour lifestyle show that was based on advertorial. So a client would say, hey, we have a new line of wines that we're coming out with, and we want you to come to our winery and do a story on it. So it would be more like an infomercial-based type of show. But because everything's going digital and all the eyeballs are mobile and digital, they decided to dump that show. So that I probably stopped working in February at the station. And they said they don't need my services anymore.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. But at the same time, I wonder what would have happened in March when all this happened, or, you know.
Yeah, well, I know because it's a sales-based show that right now people aren't buying that specific show that I was working on. And I know that the sales team there is, you know, everything's in upheaval. So it's
Of course, everything's in upheaval everywhere.
Nobody wants to spend money. Advertisers don't want to spend money. So there's a lot going on. I'm not there right now in the eye of the storm, which I guess is good. But I do definitely need to start looking for work.
And you probably need and want to, right? Because I get the impression that you really value your career and you want to keep going.
I do. I do. And I was at the point also where I was really, and I know this is why we wanted to talk today anyway, was really feeling the undertones of ageism really, really hitting home. And I think I had tolerated it for a long time. And you just, you know, I've not done anything, you know, I'm not going to go and starve myself. I'm not going to go and inject my face with fillers and try to be, you know, be what I'm not. I always try to pride myself on authenticity. And it's like, yeah, I've gained weight. Yeah, I'm older. I'm 51. I don't, unfortunately, I don't look like I did when I was, you know, 25.
Well, of course. And like, I don't know. I trust, personally, I trust someone who looks like 50-ish more than I trust someone who looks 25 because they know more. And they're.
It's kind of, you know, I've really vacillated on how I feel. Like, I'm not going to lie. I would say February, all of February, I was pretty devastated. There were, some tears of just saying, okay, you're just, this is, you're at the end of the road here. So now let's detour. And I haven't figured out what the detour looks like exactly, but yeah, you take a hit to your ego. I also have known my entire career that I'm in an industry that's incredibly superficial.
Yes. And, and this is all stuff I wanted to ask you about. So you're, keep going.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's I'm like, I thought about it. I think at one point, in February where I was crying and I kept thinking and thinking and, you know, I talk to God and I'm praying and I'm like, okay, why is this happening for me? What's the message? What's the lesson? And I thought back to when I was working in Portland and I was probably about 26. And at the time I had been hired to anchor the weekends. And shortly thereafter, the weekday morning anchor had gotten sick. And she never returned from sick leave. And then I ended up replacing her Monday through Friday on the morning show. And I remember at the time, somebody saying, oh, you know, you're the new young thing and you're replacing so-and-so, who I don't even remember her name or know her name. I never even crossed paths with her, never met her. But I thought about it and I went, wow, you know, I had zero idea of what I was doing back in my, you know, mid to late 20s, replacing somebody else. Didn't even faze me.
And
And here I am at 51. And, you know, there's another younger gal coming up the ranks who's replacing me, basically. And I went,
is that actually happening?
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because they can bring in people that are half my age or even younger and pay them way less, and they're far, you know, quicker and agile and have no families and no kids or husband, you know. And so, yeah, that was a weird aha moment where I went, okay, Elizabeth, I use my whole name when I'm having serious conversations with myself. And I said, okay, Elizabeth, you've done this to someone, someone's doing it to you, and this is, you know, this is part of the process.
Right. But the thing is, you know, it's not as if back then you consciously were doing this to someone, and the younger woman is, I am assuming, not doing it consciously to you, but it's the system and society's expectations that are so ingrained that are causing this like ripple effect to happen. Even like many years later, you think today that, I don't know, I like to think that we're more evolved today and that, you know, discrimination is happening less, but especially in a field that is so centered on appearance as yours, it's still in full effect, it sounds like.
100%. And I think, you know, I had one producer colleague tell me, you know, that I couldn't be doing the work that they need me to be doing because I'm not proficient in, let's say, editing quickly my own stuff. And, you know, my argument's like, well, train me. You've trained other people. Give me a shot. And then, you know, it turns out they're looking for other candidates. And somebody's like, oh, she kind of looks like Lizzie. She reminds us of Lizzie, but a much younger version. And so you just, I can't compete with that.
Yeah. And also it sounds like, why should you have to edit your own stuff? Is that normal?
It is today, only because, you know, TV has to become more digitally focused and more nimble and agile, you know, being able to move quickly and on the cheap, you know, with fewer resources. So being able to shoot and edit your stuff is the way that a lot of TV stations are going.
Yeah, I guess that makes some sense because everybody has to become a jack of all trades all of a sudden.
Right.
Or Jane of all trades. But at the same time, it also sounds like it may have been sort of an excuse in that case.
I think it was probably a bunch of different things. I don't think, you know, I've worked in this industry in TV long enough where I've been fired multiple times.
Wow.
And, you know, you kind of get called into the office and they're like, we're going in a different direction. And you really don't know, you just go, okay, clearly the direction is not my direction. And you really don't know the reason behind it. You just have to say, okay, moving on. Wow. So I think there are probably many reasons, but I definitely, definitely felt that it was, you know, we need to be digital, much younger, fresher, faster.
Yeah. How do you feel about like confronting this? Are you feeling like you can you have any chance at making a change and sort of asserting yourself and being like, hold on a second, this is not okay? Or are you feeling like maybe you want to carve out something for yourself that doesn't involve that world that you have been in until now? Or
I finally reached, you know, I will have to say there was a period where in between, you know, hosting a daily live TV show and working freelance as a TV host, there was a period where I definitely mourned the loss of this career that I had built for myself. And I think, God, it must be difficult to be a professional athlete, you know, because you have these people that are just grinding and grinding and competing and competing, and this is what they love. Like, I do it because it's the work that I love to do. And, right, you know, you reach this point and then you can't do it anymore. Not because you don't want to and you can't, you're just, you know, you age out.
Yeah.
You know,
that is a bummer. It's not okay.
And so you really have to go, okay, so what do I do next? How do I pivot? And I'm at the place where I have felt I need to pivot. I need to stop giving away my IP, my intellectual property, and work for myself. And fortunately, we're at a time where everybody is their own media company, and we can create and do the things we want to do. So that's where I'm at currently. Definitely what that looks like and making that happen for sure.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned that you've been fired. You have gone through many, many changes. I'm wondering if you can give us one example of something that was really challenging in your career and how did you get past it?
I think probably the first time, I remember I was working a digital hosting gig. I was the host of these digital cooking shows for a startup a few years ago. And I remember getting the phone call from my boss, and his exact words were, "We're not going to need you anymore. We're going in a different direction."
Oh my God. And you're in the middle of this show.
You know what? Okay. Okay. I said, "In that direction means a younger host." He's like, "We're just going for a different vibe." And I remember that was the first time I really felt, whoa. I tease my husband all the time where we think we're a lot younger than we are, and then you look in the mirror and you go, oh wait, I'm not that young anymore.
But like, let's just pause for a second, because you look amazing.
Thank you.
I'm all for like looking your age, and there's nothing wrong with looking 50, and like props to everyone who however you look at 50, but I mean, you do look younger than 50 and you look great. So I don't know what's wrong with these people.
That's been the heart. I think that's probably been one of the most recently challenging parts is, I think as a woman aging, you're dealing with, you know, I know I am raising kids that are still young, aging parents, and trying to, you know, be happily married. And then you start going through changes with, you know, perimenopause or menopause. And it's like, it all just comes and hits at once. And I think why it feels compounded. It feels extra heavy.
Yes.
You know, if I didn't have all those things, those things happening at once, would it have hit me as hard? I don't know. But I do feel, you know, sometimes my husband, I might actually start crying thinking about it. Over the weekend, I'm losing so much hair. It is insane. You have the most amazing hair, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I am knocking on wood.
So much hair. And I don't know if it's the stress with the, you know, perimenopause combined, the perfect storm. And he goes, oh, be quiet. You've got a lot of hair. And I literally, you know, scraped up the hair that was on my pillow and on my sheets into a little hairball. And I just started crying. And he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, you're not lying. You know, he thought I was just being a drama queen. And I was
and you were like, no, look at this. Look at this.
You have a full head of hair. You don't understand.
it's so frustrating. I'm waiting for that to happen because all of the other stuff is happening. And that's like the one symptom I haven't had yet, but it's very common in perimenopause and menopause. I hear it.
I didn't realize, and I've always had a lot of hair, thick hair, thank God.
Yeah.
But man, I had no idea that it would affect me as much as it does. It really, getting out of the shower after I wash my hair and, you know, being able to see the thinning and I can see my scalp. Oh, it just does a doozy on me.
As it would on anyone. It's there's so much wrapped up in your hair with your identity. There's also, which we were devoted to an entire podcast previously, that people can't go to the salon. So their hair is getting gray. Well, I mean, unless you are lucky enough to be proficient at doing it at home.
Or coloring at home. Right. Right. I'm not doing anything. I have my roots, my gray
I'm
roots.
Not either.
Growing out. I have the little L'Oreal spray can for your roots that you can spray. I finally sprayed them because I was like, I really don't want to look at those gray roots right now. I'm going to spray those.
Yeah.
So I don't have to look at them.
I'm about to do that, I think. but yeah, it's so much happening at once. It's a lot. And it's like a testament to our strength a lot of times, I think.
It is, but on the flip side, it's also a period of I don't give a F. I'm not going to do things anymore that I don't want to do. I'm not going to make plans or talk to people that don't truly bring me joy. Like I really feel, on the flip side of that comes a lot of just like liberation, this is what we've got. This is where we are. This is what we're going to do. And, my house is not immaculate. It's not super, super duper organized. It's clean, but.
Oh, really? Mine is. Yours isn't? Just kidding.
But you know what? But you know what's important to me? My big thing has been, and maybe this is because I think I've battled fits of depression on and off my life. One of the things one of my therapists always told me was find one thing that brings you joy and makes you laugh a day. So when things get really, really kind of uncertain, I think like where we are right now, my goal has been one thing with my family that makes me laugh. And I'm a laugher. I come from a long line of laughers. We love laughing loud. I'm a full body laugher. My whole body moves.
That's why
my
I like you
move.
So much.
I'm loud. People stare at me in restaurants. Tell that girl with the loud laugh to shut up. I love laughing. And so for me, I'd rather have an hour of laughing my ass off, crying because I'm laughing so hard, than organizing the pantry.
Oh yeah. Right there with you on that for sure. And that is that's like just a really good little tip for this whole quarantine thing. Like find something like that you can think about that brings you joy. Cause there's always,
and if we get to, and if we get to 10 o'clock at night and I'm still going, oh shit, I haven't had my good laugh. We're on, Netflix, YouTube, True TV, and we are finding something that will make us laugh. A piece of comedy, a skit. Yeah.
Good. That's great.
Yeah.
Have you guys been looking at TikTok at all?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a new phenomenon for me, but Frida is obsessed. Yeah. She can't stop thinking about it. So I've had to like kind of press pause on it because she's like, we have to do the dance. We have to learn the dance and we have to record it. When can we do it? How many likes are we going to get? We don't even have I don't even think I have an account. And she's already thinking in this direction. I'm like, oh my God, what is happening here? So I'm trying to like limit it, but the stuff on there is pretty hilarious. So it is a good, like joyful escape.
Right. And I really, with my daughters who have the tendency to be perfectionists and get stressed out over school and grades and tests, You know, it's all, I just tell them, hey, we are in extraordinary times. And the most important thing is that we take care of each other and that we're healthy. And that includes our mental well-being and our mental health. So mental health in our house is a huge thing. And so that usually takes precedence over everything.
That's so great.
Has helped. Yeah, that has really helped a lot.
That's so great. Do you have anything that you do with your girls to kind of check in with them, like to just check in with them and make sure that they're doing okay in that department?
I will. My oldest is a talker, so it's usually...
So you know, you usually know what's going on.
I usually know. She usually tells me. And if she doesn't tell me every once in a while, I think as now that she's 15 and a half, she's not as chatty as she used to be. I can, I know her so well. I can just read her body language. I can just sense her energy. And so I can usually find a creative way to call her out on it. My younger one's a little harder, but usually what I find is I have to do it at the right time where I check in with her. And
because otherwise she'll not receive it as well.
Right. Nothing. I'm fine. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm tired. I'm hungry. Leave me alone. My sister's being mean. She'll, you know, I'll get some canned answer. But lately, if I, you know, find the right time, because timing is everything, and I get her at the right time, and she's not tired, she's eaten, she's not stressed out about something, there's a lot of fear, you know. So I have read a lot on how to deal with kids and try to support them with their fears. And she, you know, she'll cry. And she's like, I'm scared. What's going to happen? Are my grandmothers going to be okay? Are they going to get sick? Am I ever going to go back to school? You know?
Yeah.
Because we do our best to try to shield them from a lot of the news and information, but they see it in the newspapers and on their iPhones and computers.
Yeah, of course.
So I do make the effort, you know, to check in with them at least, you know, a couple times a week. And we're in really close proximity. So if somebody's really acting up, there's usually a reason behind it.
Yeah, it's probably easier to see signs now because they're there in front of you all the time, which is kind of good considering everything, I guess.
Yeah.
If it's a trying, and in trying times, at least they're like right in front of you. It's not like a trying time and they're like off doing their thing.
Right. And we, you know, we've had, and I would say, you know, the last few years, my oldest has battled anxiety and depression for years. And so the last few years have been difficult in our household. I mean, when somebody's sick, it affects the entire family. So on the joy spectrum, there hadn't been a lot. There were moments of it for sure, but it was tough. It was tough. And so for us, in all honesty, we're in a period where everybody's pretty good with their mental health. For us to get this time together, we're really, I think we craved it for so long because it was missing in our lives. The timing of it all feels good for us. So I think we're incredibly fortunate. We have, you know, I try to think of the silver lining to the hell that we went through, or my daughter went through. And, you know, at least every other day, she's like, I love you guys. I'm having such a good time. Thank you guys for being such a great family. And I love, I mean, it's real. And my younger daughter's like, I have my older sister back and she wants to hang out with me.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. I feel blessed in that way for sure.
Oh, good. That's so great. So just to kind of touch on your career a little bit more. So you're thinking that moving forward, you will kind of do your own thing. It sounds like you're wanting to break out on your own. And are you thinking that you're going to, like, for just using myself as an example, I'm just sort of taking the age thing head on. I'm just addressing it head on and talking about being 50. And I just felt like I had to.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you're thinking, so yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. I really feel that, you know, we're just this ignored demographic, you know, if you want to use advertisement speak, that we're just ignored. It's kind of like, oh, she hit 50, 45, we're done, you know? And you think about it, and you're like, we have purchasing power. We have wisdom. A lot of us are like, let's go, second act. Let's bring it on.
Absolutely.
But yeah. I also think there's so many things that aren't discussed. And that's where I would like to be. And finding a place where I can, you know, talk to other women, relate to other women, share information. You know, I don't shop at Chico's. I don't ever envision me shop. And nothing, not that there's anything wrong with it, but that's, I feel like there's a stereotype of women once you hit a certain age. I mean, I think it's beginning to change, but I think it's going like completely the opposite end of the pendulum. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was interesting when I started doing research to launch Mean Magazine, when I would search for like fashion over 50 or anything over 50, it would be, the results I would get would look nothing like me or what I imagined myself being. And it just made it clear what society's idea of an over 50 person was and how different I find it to be from reality, because like I have tons of friends like you and, you know, lots of other people similar to us who don't look like those things that I was finding. I actually got fed an ad recently that was something like, it was for elderly people over 50. I was like,
what?
You know, I don't think I'm being overly sensitive in saying I'm not elderly yet. Like, come on, people. You know, it's just, yeah, it's funny. But yeah, so I'm excited to see what you're going to do, you know, because we need, you know, as many voices as we can get for, out there for women over 50.
Just talking about my hair.
Yeah.
Why aren't there other, I know I have friends my age. How come nobody's talking to me about this? How come nobody warned me? Why didn't anybody warn me about this?
It's so true. There's so much like that, like so much about menopause and perimenopause that like nobody talks about, and we need to talk about it because we need to know what we're getting ourselves into. It happens to every woman.
Or even my friends that are divorced or widowed that want to start dating again, right? Mm-hmm. And now they're dating in a whole new world with all the apps out there. And I just think there's just so much that is being completely ignored and neglected. And I think more women, more voices need to be heard, for sure.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, that's why I love what you're doing with Mean Magazine. And I think it has all of your energy and vibe in it. I love it.
Thank you so much. Well, I want to get you involved in it as much as I possibly can. As much as you'll let me lure you in. This is our third podcast, so we'll see how many we can squeeze in this year. So what have you been drinking most during quarantine? Just to completely change the subject.
I don't know. I've not been drinking as much as I thought I would.
Oh, good
only
for you.
Because I'm not a nightly, I've never been a nightly drinker. I've never been a nightly drinker. I've always been a social drinker. So weekends. Now tonight's a Friday, so I'll probably have I'll drink. Earlier in this week, I've been loving on Instagram. There's a DJ with the handle D Nice that does
this
club quarantine every day.
Yes.
And I'm in the kitchen, cleaning up the kitchen, and I was like, I'm going to pour myself a glass of wine, and I'm going to dance in the kitchen with my AirPods on and be in my own little world. And so I was drinking and loading the dishwasher and dancing. But that doesn't happen every night.
Yeah. So what's your go-to? Are you a wine type of person?
You know what? I'm actually, wine also gives me headaches.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been a hard alcohol kind of gal. So it'll be either vodka or tequila.
Okay. Just and like straight up or?
No, I'm pretty much, it's usually just over ice with a little soda and then a lime. Like I'll squeeze in a lot of lime because I love things tart.
It's kind of badass.
So plus then you don't get the sugar, you don't get the hangover. So that's usually, and it's so funny because I have friends that drink a lot of wine, and then I, you know, roll up or show up on a Zoom with my cocktail, and then they look at me like, ooh, she's got a cocktail. And I'm like, really, bitches? You're on your third glass of wine.
Exactly. That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. My husband's been making cocktails lately. He's been doing tequila, like margaritas, and but like really not a lot of sugar margaritas, like yummy ones that are not overly sweet. And then also, what did he make recently that was kicked my ass? And unexpectedly, I was like, whoa, what was it? Oh, shoot. I can't remember. But he's getting really into, like, he has a few cocktail books that he's like reading and like perfecting the recipes and stuff. And it's great because they're delicious and it's fun, but it's also kind of like, whoa, like one of them is very strong and I have to be careful. Because
that's
if I have
husband,
one of those and
yeah.
then a glass of wine, it's problematic.
And then Frida's tucking you into bed at night.
Oh my God. That's been a problem. Cause I'm like, yeah, I guess you can stay up till 10. You know, it's not good. It's not good. Cause she has calls every morning with her class at 9:30 and usually she's in her pajamas. It's, you know, but it's not normal time. So I'm not going to beat myself up about it.
Exactly. Don't do it.
Yeah.
So I would say it's usually water, coffee, and then, you know, on the weekends, a cocktail. Pretty boring.
Yeah. No, but so life sustaining, you know, coffee to me is just, my life in the morning, it's just, you know, I don't know. Do you have any rituals that you like in the morning or any time of the day that you need for your day to feel like it's like, okay?
I usually, when I go take the dog for a walk, I sometimes will bring my, you know, earbuds and download a podcast or listen to something on Audible. As long as I do something during the day where I can put earbuds in, that's plenty. Whether it's listening to music, reading, going for a walk, and then reading. I forgot to mention that. I am reading a lot right now. And I have a stack of books that are calling my name and I just pick one up. And that for me is so relaxing. I mean, all hell can be breaking loose in my house. You know, the dog's throwing up, the girls are fighting, whatever's going on. But if I'm sitting in the corner of the sofa and I'm at the right temperature and I got cozied up with my book, I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds just divine.
Yeah.
What are you reading right now?
So right now I have Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed.
Oh, I just have that. I think I might have just bought that on Kindle. That's my, is it out? It's brand new, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just came out this month. So
how
I'm
is
reading
it so far?
That. So, you know what? I love her. I actually right now I'm still leaning towards her former book.
Okay.
Something more, Love Warrior maybe, I think was the title of it. And the way she wrote this book, it's like a lot of little, it's all very, you know, these little anecdotes. Like, here's this chapter about my son, the next chapter about my wife, the next chapter. It kind of does a lot of skipping around like that every chapter. So there's these little short little nuggets. And her other one more told, I think, her story throughout it. There was more of a narrative. This is more like, here's my wisdom I'm throwing out. Little nuggets of wisdom. It's still really good. And there are definitely some chapters in there that really resonate. But I'm partial to her former book at this point. I'm not done with it. I'm almost done with it. But there have been some where I'm, you know, highlighting, taking photos, sending it to my sister. I'm like, this right here. Exactly.
Yeah, I just had a similar experience. I actually had on my podcast I just published it yesterday, actually. A woman named Jennifer Loudon. She has been writing like self-care books since 1992. Like, she's like an OG in that department. Mm-hmm. But she's publishing a new book called Why Bother next week. I think it's the 21st. And so I had a press copy or whatever. And I was just highlighting and like underlining all the time because it was just very, it was more in the vein of like a book that's, it did tell some stories, but it was very like practical. Like, you know, if you feel this way, here's something to think about, you know, like very practical tips and stuff like that. Like, and it's really, I guess, for if you're feeling kind of like, I just don't feel like trying anymore. Like if you're kind of depressed or just kind of like, why should I try to get what I want? Because I'm not going to get it anyway. Like that kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily feel exactly like that, but I found it very helpful anyway, just as far as like getting in touch with what I really want and how to get it. And I don't know, I really enjoyed it. So yeah. I'm making another plug for her book. Uh-huh. why bother? It comes out on Tuesday. Yeah. Or next week, one of the days, the 21st.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. And then the book before that I read was Ask Again, Yes, which was fiction. Yeah. So I kind of go between, you know, fiction, nonfiction. I try to rotate off.
Oh, that's
on,
a good idea.
That's kind of how I go.
That's a good idea because I tend to get in a rut. I'll get like, I'll do all nonfiction for a minute and then I'll be like, oh, wait, I need a break. I need to read some novels. So yeah, that's a good idea to switch it up.
Yeah. And I always have a pile of books that I, you know, can choose from. I might, you know, there's another book that I have that's got bumped by Untamed. So I might do two nonfiction back to back, but I usually try to rotate them out.
That's a good idea.
That's been my thing. I'd say I'm not watching as much Netflix and TV as a lot of my other friends are. But that's just because I'd rather sit down and read. I'd rather get the Sunday New York Times and plow through that, you know, that's been sitting on the table for half a week.
And you read like the paper versions.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Good for
I want
you.
To hold a book. I want to hold a newspaper. I want to hold a magazine. There's something very, oh gosh. I think that's part of the whole process that feels good. That's soothing to me.
It's also such good modeling for kids because if they just see you staring at your phone, they don't necessarily know you're reading a book. But if you're sitting there reading a book, they know you're reading a book. It's like, and they, maybe it'll plant a seed.
I have a hard time reading on a device. My older daughter does it all the time. I cannot do it for whatever reason. I have abandoned, I think, every book I've ever attempted to read on a device. I just cannot stick with it.
I've been using Kindle on my phone because the only time I end up reading is at night. And I can't turn any lights on because there's always somebody asleep. So it's just like I can see it and I can like practically read it, you know, in the dark because it lights up. But so that I think that I've just forced myself to get used to it because of that.
And you read it on your iPhone?
Yeah, I do. It's probably not good for my hands or my eyes, but it's the only time I'm finding that I can read. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, I've tried to read in bed on a device and nearly broken my nose or my lip.
Right.
Because I end up falling asleep. Yes.
Right. It's dangerous. It's dangerous.
It's so dangerous. I'm like, okay, no more of that. So maybe I need to do it on my phone so I won't kill myself, break my face when I'm trying to read and falling asleep.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. So I was thinking we could do a little sort of a mini lightning round wrap up question session, if that's cool with you.
Totally.
Okay. And some of the questions are quarantine, you know, specific and some are not. So I'm just going to run through them and answer as quickly and honestly as you can.
Okay.
All right. What are you looking forward to the most post-quarantine?
Oh, I want to see my mom and my sisters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Okay. And what was the last dream you had that you remember?
Oof. The last?
I know.
I can't say.
You know, it's an adult show, so you can just share what you want.
Oh my God, this is so funny because it probably happened about 2 weeks ago. And I remember waking up from the dream going, what just happened?
Really?
How did I end up in bed with him? Because I don't feel like I've been dreaming. Like I hit the pillow and I usually am out.
Oh, wow.
So I have not been dreaming lately. I feel like I go through periods of my life where I dream a lot and then I'm just lights out. So lately I've just been sleeping when I go to bed. And for whatever reason, I had this dream about someone. And I remember texting my girlfriend the next morning and I said, you will never believe who I know what the trigger was. Here's the trigger. I've been obsessed with Andrew and Chris Cuomo and Andrew Cuomo's, his daily news briefings. And then Chris Cuomo on CNN. Yes. And I keep telling my girlfriend, I'm like, I'm obsessed. I love them. I would definitely, you know, date Andrew before I dated Chris. And I've always loved Chris on the news when he was on Good Morning America. So I was talking back and forth with my girlfriend. So that night I had a dream about somebody in my former industry, in the TV industry.
Oh, and, okay.
But it was somebody that I had never thought about in that capacity. And so right. It's just been, I remember waking up going, holy shit. Wow.
And then were you like, thank God that was a dream?
Oh, we keep the jokes that we've been able to establish from that dream have been nonstop. So it's provided us with a lot of entertainment in between. So
that's awesome. Oh my gosh. Okay. So next up is, if you have a tattoo, what is it? Or what are they if you have more than one? And do you plan to get another one? Or if you're not a tattoo person, but were forced at gunpoint to get one, what would it be?
I don't have one. I've always wanted one. I have not been able to decide what it would be, but I think if I do get one, it would be something in that would honor my father who passed away a couple of years ago. So it would be something in honor to him. And I think my sister and I, one of my sisters, we keep talking about going and getting something done and trying to figure out what it would be.
Nice. If I got one, that's special. What it would be. Yeah. Awesome. Would you ever get a portrait tattoo?
I don't think so, only because there's nothing. This is why I have problems with home decor.
Yeah.
committing to a color scheme and a pattern and a certain look has always been difficult for me. Now, I can commit to people, like I'm committed to my husband and my family, but I have not found something as of yet in my life where that I just completely like, that needs to be on me forever.
It's hard. Yeah. Okay. Last question. What is the best thing about getting older?
The best thing about getting older is what I addressed earlier. You just don't give a flying, you know what, about a lot of things anymore. You just don't care. Yeah. I love that certain things that used to just put me in a tailspin. Oh my God, I didn't get invited to this, or oh my gosh, what am I going to wear to that? Or I need to do this. And like, stupid stuff that used to, you know, set me off. I just don't give a crap anymore.
Yeah.
Your perspective changes on a lot. I think your list of what's important in life changes and you're just like, okay, I got this.
It feels so good, right?
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah, I get that too. It's such a relief.
1,000%.
It makes me grateful that I've been able to live this long.
Yeah.
Because I had so much anxiety and so much, what's the word? I don't know, so self-critical and self-conscious and all of that. And not that it's all gone magically, but there's much less of it.
Yeah, I think we're kinder and gentler to ourselves, you know?
Yeah. Less and critical. Others too, I think.
Right.
Like, I think I'm less judgmental in general because I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't know. You just kind of realize that people have stuff going on. And yeah, like, you've been through stuff yourself. So it's even more perspective.
And I think the other thing too is you realize that there's going to be more shit that's going to come at you. and you're gonna get through it.
Yeah.
Because when you're in it, you just feel so like there's never gonna be an end. And I think with age comes wisdom, and you realize, okay, here we, you know, let's everybody buckle up. Here we go. We're going to get, it's going to suck for a while, but we're going to get through. And then, so I do like that you have that. Okay. It's not the end of the world, although it feels like it right now. And this hurts, but we're going to get through. And I think having that and really believing it, because there's, you know, I remember going back to my 20s thinking, yeah, I'm never going to get through this. How am I ever crying? I'm never going to get the job I want. It's never going to happen. This is a waste of my time. And now it's laughable. I'm just like, oh no, it'll happen. Just hold on. Hold on, baby girl. Be patient.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Well, Lizzie, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me for the third time.
You're welcome.
But I'm so excited that today we got to talk more about you and get to know you and your career and how you're dealing with the whole coronavirus thing. Yeah, it's been really great, and I appreciate your time, and I hope to see you in person very soon.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
I know. I keep thinking back to that time when we did the other two podcasts and we recorded in your beautiful home, and it was like, I was like, this is like a perfect place to record a podcast, and it was really fun, and not that this isn't fun, but
I know, we're like, okay, come back anytime. Okay, yeah, I'll come back next month or whatever that was. And we're like, okay, no.
Yeah, that isn't going to happen, unfortunately. But maybe sometime this year we can do it again.
Yes, that would be nice. Yeah. That would be really nice. Thanks for having me, Kristen.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thank you, and have a good rest of your, you know, quarantine.
You too, honey.
Take care.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to The Mean Podcast. Please check out the online magazine at www.meanmagazine.com and get in touch if you or someone you know should be featured in the magazine or on the podcast.